Hey guys, what's up? My name is Anthony. Welcome to another edition of BNA Sports Talk. So today, I want to talk about the New York Giants' kind of missteps. What kind of inspired me to do this video is Online Big Blue said, you know, Saquon Barkley wasn't that bad of a pick. You can look hindsight 2020, but like, you know, were they going to draft Josh Rosen? And I kind of made that point, like, Josh Rosen, bad. Sam Darnold, bad. Josh Allen, you didn't know. Lamar Jackson, you really wanted the Giants to draft Lamar Jackson at number two? Or we should have traded back and done all these, you know, hula hoops, the Colts, you know, traded back with the Jets. You know, no. there's a lot of things. No, ideally, the right pick in the 2018 draft would have been Quentin Nelson. But try to get a team to draft the guard at pick number two in the NFL draft. Try to do that. And at that point, we probably had some late round targets. We had Will Hernandez, but at that point we didn't have a great offensive line either. We were trying to surround, Eli Manning. And then you have the other people on the other side that say, you know, Saquon Barkley, 1,300 yards, rookie year, however many it was, I think 1,400, like in total scrimmage yards and yard receptions, 91, you know, receptions, his rookie year, crazy stuff like that. But there's always a risk with running backs. And Online Big Blue, I'll say his name again because, you know, there's credit, whatever. He said, well, if you find the running back, you're going to pay him $10 million anyway. That's what teams like the Browns do. So the overall ceiling of paying a running back isn't high. And so if you're paying, you're basically just paying him early in his years. The only thing that you're wasting is that draft capital. So it's an interesting perspective. I hope you understood what I said. Like, after the third year, you're going to start paying him money anyway. Like, when you go to that year option, you know, that you pay running backs $10 to $12 million, and you just kind of assume it's going to be that. You just can't pay, you know, them, I guess, Ezekiel Elliott money. Ezekiel Elliott gets paid $16 million a year. If you're paying him $10, it's like, yeah, if you offer that production. And then another point that he makes is, you know, Saquon Barkley, I'm going to probably make a short about it. Saquon Barkley just looks slow. Like, he's not breaking any tackles, really. He doesn't have that strength, but like, he just looks non-explosive, like just running. He looks unsure of himself. And this year's kind of a wash for him. It's kind of sad. You know, they see his second year off the ACL, and I'm hoping that he gets his speed back. You know, he just looks slower. He looks like, you take a look at other backs in the NFL. Even James Conner looks slow, but Mark Ingram, I saw him run on a play. Saquon Barkley just looks non-explosive. I get it, come off the injury. Let's, you know, come out of this year fairly healthy, and you know, with him getting his legs underneath him, with not a lot of blows, you know, 20 to 25 yards, carries per game, touches per game, get him kind of used to it, and hopefully I build his confidence, because we have to pay him next year. And it's one of those things. Running back position, we pretty much have nothing we can do about it, because we're, you know, you can't go back on that. And then I want to talk about Joe Judge for a little bit, because I was taking a look at the coaching hires for the 2020 process. Who did you want, right? I was thinking, because people are like nailing Joe Judge, and I nailed him too. I knew he was never really that good of a timeout caller. He's like, I'm learning in the process, but it doesn't seem like he's learning that much. Maybe he is behind the scenes. I just don't know. His timeout decisions are just, he's too process oriented. He in practice, like, yeah, we go for it when we need to, and like we are aggressive, but. Yeah, anyway, so I don't want to get too sidetracked, but okay, here are the coaching hires in 2020. You know, Ron Rivera was probably my number one choice, but you have the Ron Rivera Washington football team. Bam, the CEO coach, they're six and six with Tyler Heineke. You know, good offensive line overall, but what were we thinking of them 2-3 weeks ago? You have Mike McCarthy, also in the NFC East. Really? You know, we know what we think about him. He just kind of lets Kellen Moore do his thing, and he's guaranteeing wins. He's kind of sloppy of a coach, that type of thing. His offense played better when he wasn't there with, you know, Ben McAdoo and the whole gang that did it. You had Kevin Stefanski, who won Coach of the Year last year, but his Browns are 6-6 right now, and it doesn't really look like they're playing that well. You know, you kind of rely on a great offensive line to get you good. You know, Kevin Stefanski's good, I guess. And then, well, people are going to make fun of me. They're like, what do you mean good, I guess? But then Matt Rhule, who literally told Joe Brady, we're going to run it 33 times a game minimum. And that's it, every single game. Really? You know what happens when you do that? when you pigeonhole yourself into that, and then he fired Joe Brady for wanting to pass it in a passing league in the NFL, in a division where you play in the NFC South, where you're playing in, I don't know, two domes in the Mercedes Benz Arena, and then Caesars Sportsbook, I think. That's what they call it now, with the Saints play, and then Raymond James Stadium for the Tampa Bay, for Tampa, and then you play in Charlotte. So 8 games a year, maybe more, 10, whatever it is, games a year. Next year they play 9 home. Why am I getting too analytical about it? Next year they play 9 home games. The NFC gets the extra home game next year, and then you play 3 more home games, so you're getting at least 12 games. Well, you're playing in warmth. We could throw it. Unless a hurricane is coming, you're good. You don't have to travel to Buffalo all but every 4 years. And, you know, Cleveland, that's the other place, you know. But I think you guys understand what I'm saying. But he pigeonholed himself. And a lot of people want Matt Rhule. And honestly, I take Joe Judge over Matt Rhule any day of the week. Because Joe Judge at least is a little bit flexible, you know. He's establishing a culture. He has a backbone about him. And you know he's not going to just ditch for college, you know. What's kind of interesting is Urban Meyer and Matt Rhule are fairly similar. You know, now Urban Meyer's apparently treating kids. I was wrong about Urban Meyer, by the way, but he's apparently treating adults like kids. And I thought he'd just adjust, but he's treating them like college students, and he's treating them like they don't really know what they're doing. But these are people with families. And he's like, but the thing about Matt Rhule was, and Urban Meyer was, they turned around programs. Everywhere they go, they're successful. But the NFL is different, yeah. The NFL, it's same sport, but just different league, you know. And they learned about it. It's like moving up in a big market in television. You know, it's the same process, but you can't make those mistakes anymore. There's more pressure, you know. There's more pressure on you. You can't. There's no small talk anymore. The big market, it's just different. And I'm waiting to see and waiting to experience, but I've heard big markets are just different with television. But that's kind of all I had prepared for today. We're at seven minutes. I just kind of want to talk about the bets I have tomorrow, I guess, for now. My bets and my contest. I'm 41 for 65. I'm at like 63%. That's really good. Usually the people that win like the super contest for like Vegas, the big ones, hit like 63 to 65%. So I'm right about there. I'm not trying to brag. Not trying to, you know. Yeah, so I have 5 bets. I have obviously 5. I have Tennessee over the Jaguars. I think Jaguars in disarray. Tennessee off a bye, they're home, 8.5. I don't really know how much I count for home field, so I'll just say it's 2. And do you think Tennessee 6.5 points worse? I don't know. They have extra time to prepare. The Jags are on the road. They were just in Vegas. They're just not motivated. I think they could just throw up another stinker and kind of just, you know, Urban Meyer thing just fading out. And then I have the Cleveland Browns 2.5. It's now up to 3. I just think that this seems a little bit square, but the Ravens are falling apart. The Browns are healthy. They're coming off 2 weeks. So there is an advantage to that. The Ravens did play a hard-fought game, but 2.5 points seems like a lot. It does, but and obviously the Browns will have their offensive line healthy, but this is going to be their best effort, because if they lose, they're 6-7, you know, and that seems so square. I don't know, but I'm just going with my gut. Next, I had the Bills, 3.5. I'm close to betting that one, but I like a couple more better. I like the Giants plus 10.5. I kind of like the Chargers at minus 9.5, because I feel like this is feeling a little bit like the Rams game, where it's just like, oh, the Giants are getting a lot of money, and then all of a sudden they get blown out. But we have Mike Glennon, and I really wanted Jake Fromm. This is simply just a value play. Like, I don't know. Like, dude, are we going to lose by 11 points? Maybe. We did to the Dolphins. We also by 11 points to the Dolphins. It's just, I feel like my passion, I need to get off this bet, I feel. Next, the Jets plus 5.5. This one I'm scared because Alvin Kamara is back, but what do the Jets do well? They defend the run. And plus they have some decent coming up corners. But yeah, if they can stop the run, and then you have Zach Wilson, which I'm scared of because Sean Payton, even though, who's their defensive coordinator? I should know this, but you have Sean Payton that's going to be like, oh yeah, I know how to handle, you know, the Jets just quarterback. I know how to deal with guys who don't know what they're doing. So plus 5.5, but they are at home. And it feels like the Saints are kind of deflated a little bit. But this may be a game that they get up for. It's like, yeah, let's just win because they're on like a 7-game losing streak or 5-game losing streak, whatever it is. And then what was my final? Oh, the Washington football team, because Mike McCarthy's being an asshole. That's my final one. It's just 4.5. The football team's at home. How much is home field? Is it really just a point at this point? I get it. But then I'm like, is Washington sick a touchdown or a touchdown minus the extra point worse than the Cowboys? Like, I don't think so. I think Washington is really about an average team. So do I think that, you know, if that would make the Dallas Cowboys, basically just with like power rankings math, it would make the Dallas Cowboys equivalent to a 6 points above, I guess a little bit worse than the Packers. It's like, I don't really think that, but it is maybe one of those things where they had 10 days break, but you know, you get distracted. But yeah, I hope you guys did enjoy this video. I'm not going to go into analytics like road on road game with the divisional opponent, but those are my bets for this week. Let me know what you guys think of them, and I'll see you guys in my next one. Bye, guys.